He is the new voice of talk radio, Alexander Danilov.
Good evening, all. We were scheduled, and we are still scheduled, to have a great show tonight. My guest is General Manager of Success Magazine, Jim McKay. We'll be speaking about the U economy, but we want to take a quick break from that just to talk about what's going on yet again in Europe, in France, in Nice, as a truck mowed down for looks like about a mile. And the news is, it's very fluid, so news is coming as we go along. But there's close to 100 people dead. I know you do as well, Jim, but we are just trying to pay our respects in some way to the people that were tragically killed today and the people that have been injured there. So we did want to let them know that we're, in some small part there in our thoughts and prayers, and we wish the remaining survivors well, and the families obviously strength during this difficult time.
Absolutely. It's just a horrible thing.
Yeah, it seems like it keeps happening, and this is a conversation we could speak about for a long time. It's very unfortunate, obviously, and again, we have all these people in our thoughts and prayers. The whole country of France, and obviously the whole world, is grieving tonight. We're going to try to provide some sort of distraction here on this side. Again, it's a very unexpected thing that happened, but we are scheduled to speak about the EU economy, and there's probably no better person out there to speak about the EU economy, Jim. And so let's introduce that. Let's see what it's about. Let's dive into it. And I have obviously a lot of thoughts on the EU economy as it's growing and continues to grow. It's kind of almost the Wild West at this point.
Well, it's kind of interesting that, we're framed tonight by the events that are going on, because, very important part of the EU economy is the sense that people are seeking to have more control over their lives. And one of the things that was sort of spurred us when we began to think about this and how the world has changed are the major events that have happened over the past 30 years that have changed the way that people, look at their lives, plan their careers, and in a deeper sense, define success. I mean, obviously, if you have a media property called success, you think a lot about what that word means, and you think a lot about what that word means to your users and your readers and the people who are associated with your brand. And that's been probably the most telling thing about the economy, is how the definition of success has changed and how individualized that has become.
Absolutely. And that's essential about everything else. You go to a stadium, there's 50,000 people there. There's 50,000 unique stories, Jim, and I know you think about that for sure. As you travel, you go through New York, you go to work, you come home, whatever you're doing, everybody has a unique story to tell, and now everybody's allowing themselves, and we have this ability now to allow our creativity, ourselves, onto this stage that allows us to do so many different things, and at the same time, hopefully, make some money out of it, which is great, but also define our own level of success, which previously was only thought of in financial terms.
Absolutely. One of the things that we sort of started with when we began to talk about this was, what was the world like 3 decades ago? And the world was a very different place in a lot of obvious ways, but, as a way of sort of building income, it was markedly different. People planned their lives early on, planned out what courses they were going to take in college, understood if they went with a particular company that company was going to offer benefits and training and a clear path to a future, and the relationship was thought to be a long-term relationship. And that had been the case for most of the past century. And what has happened was that we saw a lot of changes happen, particularly with deregulation. What deregulation did was it took, the report cards of companies, and it changed what the grading was. They used to be graded on, what their profit margin was, what their longevity, the value of their products, and dividends returned to stockholders, it began to become stock price. And once it became stock price, they began analyzing and looking at every aspect of their business, including the way they look at employees. Employees became a cost center. Something like manufacturing, something like distribution, something like research, that could be managed. And so the relationship that was paternal, that, you know, the employee felt that they were part of the long-term plan of the company, changed. Mm-hmm. And people began to look and feel as though they were being managed, and we began to see layoffs because of how it affected a balance sheet. And through that, you know, with the advent and add-on technology going through there, people who had thought they had entered into a covenant with their employer for a long period of time found that they were not, and that there was no such thing as long-term guaranteed employment. And they began to look, and the market began to change, and the idea of self-preservation became important. And that's sort of the early stages of what's led us to the U economy.
Now, I had to bring this in because I'm getting quickly addicted to this, but with the advent of something like Pokemon Go, it allows us again to, again, the U economy is about being our own, being independent, doing all that. It's about coming together and still doing things together to achieve a certain goal, but you're more independent about it. This augmented reality world in today, with, you know, it seems to be the way the more the world was separating, the more we were having concerns about the fact that we were at a dinner table and, you know, 75% of people were looking down at their cell phones instead of looking up and trying to have a conversation. That's forces that might come out sometimes. This augmented reality world we have presents a great opportunity for us as individuals to be able to tap into this new economy as well. And, you know, the sharing economy, all this kind of stuff, all these variants of what economy used to be are now, you know, it's changed the way everything happens, not just how we make money and try to make money, but also how we live our lives and how we go about our behaviors are starkly different than they were. We don't just hop in the car in New York City anymore. We take an Uber. We don't just wait for a designated driver anymore. We take an Uber or a Lyft or something like that. Our habits have changed tremendously over the last 5 to 10 years. The next 5 or 10 years as well.
Well, you know, I think one thing about a market-based economy that we can't get away from is the fact that you need interaction between people.
Yep.
And I think, you know, over the past decade, as you talk about people, you know, becoming more and more internalized by technology and using their cell phone and communicating sort of in a bubble, that the economy, the market economy, is always going to find a way to move forward. And in essence, the U economy is a way for us to communicate and to sort of break that channel down. Instead of being isolated and being in one particular situation, you now have the opportunity to connect with millions and millions of people through businesses like Uber or Airbnb or TaskRabbit. And you know, people who might have felt disenfranchised and individualized now have an ability with confidence to be able to communicate with people who they never, ever would have gotten in touch with before. So the scope has become, it's a rather interesting dynamic in the sense that, you know, economies used to be very, very local. Now economies are worldwide, and you see that people are setting up careers as freelancers and doing business in countries, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away, yet, you know, still being able to work that into how they're living their life.
And speaking with Jim McCabe, Vice President and General Manager for Success Magazine Enterprise. For me, it's an enterprise because it is obviously a business at the end of the day, but it's an institution that has helped so many people realize and see different things and look at things differently, look at life differently. And I'd like to get your definition of success, but I'd like to chew on that a little bit as we move, you know, as we progress through the show, because again, this divide that we've had and the way that we look at progress, economic progress specifically, it's more of building things bigger, 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 bigger. And there's this idea of creative, not really an idea, it's a theory, and it's obviously been proven, of creative destruction. Even a somewhat managed free enterprise system as we have here with regulations and oversight and things like that. But it's created a society, created a system where the benefits that you're alluding to before, Jim, are no longer present or they're too expensive. So it's almost forced people to have to go down this route, not just by, hey, I don't want to have a boss anymore, I'm done with that. It's now, holy crap, I have to figure out a way to afford my health care. I have to figure out a way to create some sort of retirement plan for myself, whether a 401k or a self-funded 401k or an IRA or something like that. So let's talk about the way that this happened. It wasn't all by we woke up one day and say, hey, I'm going to try this. A lot of it was forced, and let's not lose sight of that.
No, a good deal of it was forced. And one of the most interesting things about the study of this concept of the U economy was mm-hmm. that we went in and did a research poll with Harris Corporation and wanted to get a better look at, you know, what the demographics were about within the U economy, what people were doing, what their motivations were. One of the most striking things I think I found was, you know, of this group, more than 30% of them are over 55 years old. You know, and you would think about this, and you would think about something like the U economy, and you look at all the new developments of these companies, and you say, well, obviously, it's the millennials. The millennials have grown up in a different age, and to sort of bring something back to where we originally started with what's going on in Paris, you know, a lot of the millennials grew up in a time where they saw 9/11, mm-hmm. and they saw a situation where you know, life was fleeting and people had, you know, went to work and didn't come home that day. And so the value proposition of exactly what you're going to divide your time into became something important. And mm-hmm. so you have this interesting mix. You have this mix of people who are older, who, because they're living longer, because the world's a different place, because they want to supplement their income, and because they have a skill set that is still valuable, want to be part of this economy, but want to have much mm-hmm. more control over the way they do that, for the hours they work, the places they're going to work from, and the types of accounts they're going to work on. And you also have a group of people who have grown up with an understanding that success is not necessarily having the biggest house or the mm-hmm. biggest car. It's a sense of happiness. And there's an interesting balance between those two.
Yep. So let's talk about success, right? At one time, it was more just looked at as financial. Like you said, biggest house, biggest car, nicest yacht, biggest yacht, country club membership, all that fun stuff, right? All those spoils of wealth. But it's not like that anymore. There's certain people that see success as, you know, living in a tiny house, as we've seen tiny house hunters now, and they look at it that way and trying to travel and see things and be cultural. You see others that are about their success is raising kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, doesn't matter. That's their definition of success. And the U economy allows the flexibility to be able to do that. You mentioned TaskRabbit. We talked about Uber a little bit. As well. But all these companies in the sharing economy are spawning off the U economy. There's services where you can rent out your parking space, your driveway to people. If you're not using it, they can go and they park in their driveway. Now, there's a lot of trust that goes with that too, Jim. So how do we create that level of trust, that level of, you know, that full circle effect where it's all well and good and well-intentioned purposes and well-intentioned services are not cheated by those people who seek to do harm?
I think what's fascinating about, you know, this whole movement is the sense that reputation, it's all based upon reputation. I mean, we all know that, you know, Uber rates every driver and every rider. So you have an understanding from the crowd, not from some third party that's watching from outside. You have real honest-to-goodness feedback from people who have used the services and the people within those services mm-hmm. about what level of satisfaction they have from the transaction. And that's what is really, I think, interesting about this. We had surrendered for a long time reviews and a lot of other things to very, very specific individual groups. And that didn't reflect who we were or the groups that we were in. Now we have found through social networking and all of different tools that are associated with it, we're much more inclined to believe somebody who has actually experienced something who's more like us than we are from someone who's a so-called self-anointed expert. So that self-regulation of this particular part of the economy, I think, is what's really, really fascinating.
So again, so let's move on to your definition of success in today's world, because I'm sure it's changed over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I'm not trying to date you in any way, obviously, but you have a lot of life experiences, both good and bad. Hopefully in the future, obviously more good than bad in your life and in the life of everybody around you. But your definition of success can change almost on a daily basis in some cases, right? Not you particularly, but us. Sometimes we think money is the most important thing. The next day we might lose a loved one, or somebody might get sick, or somebody that we know gets let go from their job and they come into financial issues. So our definition of success might be rallying around somebody and helping someone get through it. There's a war going on. We rally around to try to support and help our troops. That's the definition of success as well. So I'd like to get yours today and how that's evolved. I don't want to use the word change. Some people might look at it as flip-flopping. It's not that. It's an evolution, and it will continue to evolve over as the years go on and you experience more. So I'd like to get your definition there, Jim.
Absolutely. I started my career at a time when the concept of staying with one company and longevity of career was something which was paramount. So when I first looked for my job, I wanted to find a marquee company that I could associate myself with, that, you know, my association, my level of success. When I told people what my first job was out of college, the better the reputation of that company, the better the foundation for me building a lot of things in my career. And I was lucky enough to work in advertising and for Ogilvy and Mather and go through a great training program. And, that evolved into media and working for publications like Forbes, where, you know, for the first half of my career, I mean, my resume was a gold standard of companies that had great reputations. And with that, by association, people thought I was doing particularly well. And so I have evolved along with this, this concept of new economy, which has led me through a really interesting path. I stayed in the traditional magazine path, and I was publisher of magazines like Worth and Fast Company and PC Magazine. And then I took a sort of leap into the digital world, where I ran a site for an international telecommunications company called Telefonica, and was a very traditional path until I had the opportunity to join a couple of people who were starting a startup media in the e-commerce space. And I jumped into that thinking that I was going to spend some time in developing that prospect. And we ended up selling that after a year and a half. And I was thrown back out into the world of advising companies, but really looking for the next thing I could do. And what's really interesting about my story is that it brought me back to magazines. After 5 or 6 years of being out of them, I saw this opportunity to come back to success and give back all of the experience I had gained at other publications and in different types of media, come back, work for a publication that was really focused on individuals and was able to take all of those skills I had built up in my past and apply them to a magazine and to a media company that was doing the right thing. So my definition of success was being, at this point, is using all of the experience that I've garnered to make this product better and to affect more people's lives in a positive way. It's not monetary. It's very much a mission-oriented definition of success.
So let's continue with that train of thought there. So there's a vision that comes with that as well. Is how do we help people today is not how we're going to help people tomorrow, literally tomorrow, because our life is going to change. You know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, nobody was talking about, I mentioned before, Pokemon Go. The whole world seems like they're on it. They're introducing it to different countries. Servers are going down. People are having like panic attacks because the servers are going down. It's glitchy. But it's because our world is changing, and it's changing so rapidly that we don't have a chance to really appreciate it in a lot of ways. And the unit economy will do the same thing as well, because people will no longer be in a box and forced to be in that box, which I hate. I like to say that I like the color outside the lines. And that's the way I operate. That's the way I get things done. So the old mantra and maxim of, jack of all trades, master of none, that's really been thrown out the window, because people today not only need to do a whole bunch of other different things, they must do a whole bunch of other different things, and that will change who we buy things from, how we buy things, when, where, and all that stuff in between. So let's talk about the future and the vision of the U economy, even though it's so early on now, and even though it's grown so much and expanded so much, and it's been organic. Let's talk about what the next phase of that's going to be, and I'd like to get your take on that.
Well, I mean, obviously, we call it the U economy because it's about the individual and the control they're going to have over their lives. And I think, you know, we're going to see more and more shared services companies that that are going to rise up and give opportunities. You're also going to see things like direct selling. You know, the direct sales industry is an interesting model because not only does it allow the individual to create their own sort of mini micro position, but it allows them to control a group of people as well and put together a team within a team. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing happen across different areas where, you know, you may have a team of Uber drivers, you may have properties that come together in Airbnb, and these are going to be the engines and businesses that people begin to build. And they're going to look to and need ways to be able to share the assets they have and to also deploy those assets in the way that's going to be most profitable for everybody based upon what they want to achieve. So, you know, we talk about the individual definition of success. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there right now whose individual definition of success is, you know, being able to chase a passion. You know, maybe they're a cyclist who wants to be competitive. Maybe they're surfers, whatever it is. And the sole reason that they're involved in any of these positions in the U economy is to be able to fund the operations that they're passionate about. Yet, there are a lot of people out there who still have a traditional sense of what success is. They want that big house. They want that nice car. Those two sides can coexist and, in fact, join together to reach their shared goals. If you think about someone who wants to try to, you know, organize a group of people working for Uber and somebody who just wants to drive 2 or 3 hours a day for Uber just to supplement what their income is, those two people can get together and create a pretty powerful engine within the U economy.
Yeah, it's amazing the way things have changed. I mean, just who would have thought that an individual just in the middle of nowhere sitting at home could just pop up their cell phone, turn location services on, get a buzz, and get a, you know, leave their house at 8, 9, 10 o'clock, drive a bunch of kids home after a night of partying. Actually, it would be late in that, I guess, to maybe 2, 3 in the morning, driving a bunch of college kids home and making $50, $60, $70, maybe more, doing that a few times a week, supplementing that income, and you know, just living in this new world that we're in. And what's so amazing about it, Jim, and I know you love this and appreciate this so much, is that we don't know what it's going to be. We can predict, we can prognosticate, we can think about it, and we can imagine this. Look at the amazing apps that we have there. Look at the companies that evolved just from an app store, companies like Slack, Twilio, and how they evolved, became a public company to support companies like the sharing economy companies. And you're seeing the structure being built, and it's so awesome. And it's so amazing, and it's all done outside of the scope, the old traditional structure of Uber corporatism, which I can't stand, because it's not dynamic. It doesn't move fast. There's bureaucracy. There's red tape. There's politics and nepotism, all that the dirty stuff. This, what we're going to see is if you don't like something today and I don't offer that today, heck, tomorrow, come back to my Etsy page and you'll see what you like. And that's what's amazing. It's real time. We don't have to wait to get what we want anymore. And I think that's really special. And I love that people, that it's been democratized to a large degree, and the fact that you can hopefully and potentially make money the right way doing it.
Yes. You know, whenever I think about technological advances, I look for a benchmark to sort of bring me down to earth. Mm-hmm. And I remember at some point they were putting fax machines in cars. And the value of that lasted probably about a week and a half, you know, but there was so much money. Everybody thought, okay, the fax is the new technology. Your car is where you live. You need to marry these two things together. And the world, you know, and people laugh at that. I mean, it's the old VHS versus beta argument. Things are always going to change. The things that don't change, and this is where success comes in, and this is what we're based upon, is the attributes to be successful and adapt to those levels of change are what's important. So, you know, where companies were able to create training systems based upon the way they did business and the things that they got done and wanted to get done, to indoctrinate to a degree the workers they have, that responsibility is now with the individual. You need to develop life skills to be able to survive in a world that's consistently changing. And some of those attributes are timeless. You know, perseverance, communication, leadership, the ability to be happy, all of those things that you need to train yourself around, which we try to provide in Success Magazine and success.com, are the things and ways you need to prepare yourself. If you have the basis to be able to be happy and controlled and understanding what your talents are and continue to evolve those talents, any change that happens in technology or in the environment, you're going to be able to adapt to.
Absolutely, and it continues to adapt, it continues to change, and the August issue of Success Magazine is focused on the economy. I know you talk about it in different issues as well. Fantastic magazine, got a lot of great content there, and you guys have been around forever. You've been doing some amazing stuff. I've picked up so much, not just about business or financial or anything like that, but there's also about health and personal development, individual development. Heck, if you go on success.com right now, the front will be motivation and personal development and to never give up, which can be translated easily into so many different parts of our lives. It doesn't matter if it's career or life. It could be going to the gym. It could be raising a child, whatever it is. It's about never giving up. And there's so many of these great positive messages, not corny, but great positive messages throughout the site. So success.com, Jim McKay, VP, GM of Success Magazine, fantastic publication. Again, the August issue, August 2016 issue, is going to be focused on the U economy, which we talked so extensively about tonight. Jim, thank you so much for coming on to speak about this and for spotlighting individuals and you know, giving them a voice and a platform to be able to show that it's not just a big company that we can look to for our goods and for doing business with, but it's our neighbors as well.
Well, I really enjoyed being here. We all have the ability to, you know, to grow and to make of ourselves whatever we want. And the U economy is just another tool for that. And we're happy to be able to communicate that to people.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jim. I wish you great success. Obviously, success is so big already. But with the magazine specifically, as it just came out, so I'm sure it's going to be a hot seller, as they always are. Thank you for coming on this subject.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Jim. Take care.